Before we share communion together, just want to pick up a little bit of the story in John 6 when Jesus is speaking into it. John 6:48 says this, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." To really understand that conversation, you have to go back to what had very recently taken place. The feeding of the 5,000 had recently taken place. God's miraculous provision of food for that crowd on that day. And as they were reflecting on that, they saw it as a throwback to what had happened all those centuries before. That's what they said earlier on in that passage in verse 31. They said, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They were talking about the manna that God had miraculously provided for them during their wilderness journey, through their journey through the wilderness towards the promised land. And they were looking for that to happen again. In fact, that's what they wanted Jesus to do. They said, "Give us this bread every day." It's a reminder that we can celebrate the past. We can learn from the past. But we cannot recreate the past. And neither can we actually stay in that fixed place. We have to move on. You remember how Peter there, when Jesus was transfigured before him and James and John, he wanted to stay in that place. This is where we want to be. Let's camp out here. And sometimes we can be like that. We have that wonderful experience and we think, this is where I want to stay. This is what we want. Or we look back to a time, well, and if only we could go back to that time. We can't recreate that. God is always doing something fresh. He's doing something new. He's drawing us forward into that new time. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw the miraculous signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." And so he raises that question for each one of us. When we come to Jesus, what are we looking for? What are we really looking for? Are we kind of coming to him saying, "Oh, I want you to answer this prayer"? And of course he does answer prayer. Maybe we're thinking, "Well, I'm just longing for that fresh encounter, that encounter like I've read about in history, that encounter that I've heard people talk about, that thing that I've heard happening this place or that place." Maybe we're just simply looking for something tangible, something that we can really take hold of. Of course, none of those things are bad, they're all good things, but we need to come to that place where we come to Jesus for him alone and not simply because of what he might give to us. The Old Testament is full of events that were pointing towards their ultimate fulfillment that would take place in Jesus. You kind of need to keep that in mind when you read the stories of the Old Testament. And so Jesus went on to explain to them. He said, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And of course, he was speaking about himself, Jesus, the bread of heaven. You know, God is the provider of every good thing. It may often come to us through other people. That's often the way God works. He brings it to us. He allows us to be, if you like, the vehicle for bringing that blessing to other people. But God is always the source, even though so often he works through people. And the ultimate bread that God gives to us is Jesus himself. You know, just as we thought about God provided physical food for the Israelites as they made that journey through the wilderness. It's what kept them alive all those years. But the moment they arrived in the promised land, that stopped. Why? Because the season had changed. The context in which they were living had changed. They were now in the land flowing with milk and honey. They were in the place that God had been leading them to. And so now they had to work with all that God had entrusted them with. And maybe we also need from time to time to just reflect and think about what has God entrusted us with? What has he given us to work with? What are the things that he has provided for us in this season? And we need to put it to work now, as Rob has been reminding us very much and very importantly over the last weeks. What have we got in your hand now? What has God called you to do and trusted you with now? For the people then, and perhaps for us now, it means no more ready meals. Gosh, we live in a land and in a culture where there is such an opportunity to have ready meals of all kinds, don't you? You can have your drive-through and your click and collect. You can have deliveries made to you, even out in this place, they will come. Now even microwave meals can be too much work for some people. You know, even when you go to the supermarket to buy a fresh food, many of the ingredients you get can be already prepared. You can get your carrots already peeled for you. You know, you can have your cheese already grated for you. You go and get your meat or your fish, then it's all wrapped and ready to go. It's all provided for you. The chilled foods, the frozen foods, it's all there. It's then ready. And I think, you know, at times we can come to God like that. We can come to God, Lord, you know, I don't want to have to prepare this. I don't have to work on this. Can't it all be just ready for me to take? Maybe we even rely on other people to do all the prep and we kind of just eat it. And he's saying, actually, the season's changed. You need to be able to work with the things I've given to you. You need to actually do something with them. You see, when Jesus talked about the life-giving bread that God was sending, they were still in their thinking limited. They were still thinking physical bread. That's clearly what's being talked about. They saw they had physical needs that they needed met, and they wanted a physical solution to those things. And maybe also in the back of their mind, they were thinking, do you know, this would just be such a great, easy life. Wouldn't have to go down to the supermarket anymore. Wouldn't have to go and line up, wouldn't have to go and prepare, wouldn't have to go and draw water. Wouldn't it be great if it's all done for me? And that's what they had in mind when they said, so give us this bread that we may eat. But Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. You see, Jesus was wanting them to take them beyond the physical, which after all is temporary. He was wanting to take them to the spiritual, which is eternal. I believe there is a hunger and there is a thirst that is much deeper than a physical hunger. So much deeper. Deeper than a physical thirst. And if we are to receive the benefit of it, we have to take hold of it by faith. And that faith itself is a gift of God. But with all gifts, it still has to be received. And it is not fully received unless it is unpacked, unless it is unwrapped and put to use. Jesus goes on and says, all that the Father, those that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Isn't that just such a precious promise? We are the Father's gift to his Son. He gives us to him. He draws us to him. And he would never drive us away. How precious is that? Don't believe the lies of the enemy. He would tell us otherwise. He draws us. He knows us by name. We are his. Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. What a wonderful promise that we have, each one of us. The whole of this plan began in the heart of God in eternity past. And Jesus, in response, had come to fulfill that plan. A perfect plan. A plan that enables us to feed, to spiritually feed on the source of all true life, on eternal life, on Jesus. You know, Jesus had to work that out in his life, and we have to work it out in our lives. See the process, he says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Everyone who looks to Jesus, who looks to the Son, will have life. We look to him. He is our one focus. In a world that is so full of distractions and other things, he becomes our one focus. We look to him. We are to keep our focus, our attention on him. Everyone who looks to the Son, who believes in him, and by belief, as we're reminded, it is a life-changing, a fundamental life-changing belief. It's not an intellectual thing. It's not simply that's something that we nod our heads to. It touches and changes and transforms every part of our life. Everyone who looks to the Son, believes in him, shall have eternal life. Eternal life that begins at that moment and goes on. And he says, I will raise them up at the last day. And in that moment, it is finally and eternally sealed. Forever to be with him. You know, eating is normally prompted by hunger. The key is, what do we eat when we are hungry? And so often, when we are hungry, we don't kind of think too carefully, we just want to have something and something now. And it kind of can so easily end up in a bit of, you know, junk food, anything that's quick, you know, just whatever. And we don't think too much about what it is. But the food that we eat actually becomes a part of us. You know, God has made us incredibly, he's made us so wonderfully, amazing, and that the food that we eat, our body extracts the nutrients that we need and it actually incorporates them into our body. It's just kind of amazing, isn't it, how God has designed us and enabled us just to take just all the foods that we eat and they become a part of us, extracted out. And many health conditions have their roots either too much of some nutrients or too little of others. But in Jesus, as we feed upon him, we have absolutely everything that we need for a healthy life. He becomes our life. And not just for now, but for all eternity. And then, of course, eating is personal. I can eat with others, but I cannot eat for someone else. You can watch someone eat. You can prepare food for others to eat. But if it doesn't go beyond that, it doesn't do you any good at all. It has to be experienced. You get the taste and the texture of the things that you eat. It becomes tangible. It becomes satisfying. It has to be eaten. And there is something of that as we come to share communion. I believe that Jesus' presence is made real amongst us as we eat and drink. And as we do, I believe that we become one with him. We are one with him, but we become the greater reality of what is already the case. Do you remember Jesus' prayer of John 17? He says this, his prayer is that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, I in them, you in me. We become one with one another as a result of being one with him. That's how it works. And so as we come to share, we come to eat and drink life. We come to eat and drink the life of Jesus. His body was broken, just as Jesus broke the bread when he shared it with his disciples. His body was broken. In fact, he gives us the gift of his brokenness. That is his gift to us. He was broken. In taking our brokenness, he became broken. You know, you cannot eat a loaf of bread unless you break it first. In fact, the process of making a loaf of bread involves a lot of breaking and crushing. The grain has to be threshed and the chaff has to be removed, the kernels have to be ground into flour, they have to be kneaded together, worked together, yeast added if it's going to be yeasted bread, mixed with water and to allow the gluten, the protein to become elastic, strengthened and stretched, and all those things that takes place until it is baked and we have our loaf. And in the bread that we will share in a moment, we receive the benefits of his broken body. And his blood was shed. Life is in the blood, and his life was given for you and for me. And as we drink his blood, we are receiving into ourselves the life that he has made available to us as a result of his sacrificial death. His life in us. You see, nothing of what Jesus did is simply to be observed. It's not things that we kind of look at from a distance. And nothing that we have here at the table is simply limited to symbolism. And perhaps in some traditions, it's kind of been held at that place because, you know, you don't want to shift into transubstantiation, which is not what this is about. But if we simply observe, I believe that keeps us back from receiving the full benefit of what Jesus has provided at his table, in the bread and in the cup. But of course, we don't take it casually, we don't take it carelessly, but I do believe we should take it freely and boldly, that we come. We're reminded that without what took place through Jesus' body and broken his blood shed, there is no forgiveness, there is no real life, there is no eternal life. But as a result of what Jesus has done and what Jesus has provided, as we take hold of it, as we literally eat it and drink it, we become one with him through it. His life built into us. And we are continually refreshed and renewed as often as we do this, as we say. And we are to do it often when we come together, but also I encourage you when you're alone, or at a couple's, or just alone. You know, take it on your own regularly. May that be part of your life. You don't physically just eat once in a while. Most of us like to eat every day, several times a day. You know, don't put yourself on starvation rations. That we are to eat and drink and to be nourished, spiritually nourished and spiritually strengthened and refreshed. Jesus' body broken, his blood shed for you and for me. So Father, we thank you that you set this in place in eternity past and fulfilled it through Jesus. And Lord, I'm just so aware of how little we really understand of these things, how little different we are, perhaps, of those in John 6 that really struggled to understand it because they couldn't get beyond just the physical. They couldn't get beyond their traditional thinking and into all that you were and are. And Lord, I pray again as we come, as we literally take hold of this bread and this cup, and as we eat and as we drink, Lord, I pray that we will come into a deeper experience of you and your life and your provision and your love and the oneness that we have with you and through you with one another too. That you would enable us to become one with you in its fullest expression. We thank you for it. We are mindful of the extraordinary price, a price beyond comprehension that you paid that we might come into this glorious oneness with you. So we come with thankful hearts to eat and to drink, that your life and our life may be one. That yes, we look back, but we look forward to the life that is now ours and the future that is ours in you and the eternity in your glorious presence that is yet to come. Help us to live each day here on earth in the power of resurrection life, because of your broken body and shed blood given to us as we eat and drink and celebrate. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.